seats. Amen. How many want to say that this morning? You want to have more of Him.
Amen.
Definitely want to have more of Him. Good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning. We're going to read from Joshua chapter 1. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Tim, I know exactly what you're talking about the glasses.
Yeah.
I remember hearing Brother Dale Potter saying that he would, he knew that one day he woke up and he didn't have any pains in his body whatsoever. And he was bald headed, you know, and he said he woke up and wasn't any pains and sat on the side of the bed. He thought, wow, is the rapture happened? And he said, I reached up to feel. So he realized that the rapture hadn't happened yet. And so you know, brother, you know, when that happens, we won't need these anymore.
That's right.
Amen. And so,
amen.
Yeah. Just thank the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I will give, I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper wheresoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we, in reading these scriptures this morning, Lord, we know, Lord, that they very strongly apply to our day. And so this morning, Lord, we pray that you will allow us to look into the word, Lord, at liberty this morning, that we might be able to see ourselves, know the hour that we're in, and know the position we're in, Lord, and receive courage. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Good to be with you this morning. Interesting how many times that the Lord said to Joshua there, be courageous. Right? Said that over and over and over. Be courageous and I'm with you. And gave many promises there. And so we know that applies to us. Right. Must have been some reason why the Lord encouraged him so many times. Be courageous, be courageous, be courageous.
Right.
Because it's going to take courage.
Right.
And so that means that in our day, it's going to take courage. There's going to be many things that would make us faint away, right? So the Lord is saying to us, be courageous. So we want to just speak on these things this morning. You know, the Word of God is like a cross-cut saw. You know how the old saw mill guys would be one on one side and on the other. They would, you know, and so... There's a cycle that it goes through. And when it's time for you to pull, you pull. And when it's time for you to let the other guy pull, you know. And the Word is like that. Everything, the whole universe is in cycles. We capitalize on that. Radio transmissions work because of oscillations, by cycles. We have the instruments, the different notes, is because we're capitalizing on the oscillations, cycles. And so the Word of God just goes and moves in cycles, and God has His plan all laid out, and there are times when the saw is going this way, there's times when it's going the other way. And my whole point of saying that is that if we will get into sync with the Word, when the Word is saying this is the time for a certain thing, let's go with it. Don't shove against it. Let's go with it. And then when it's moving in a different direction, let's go with that.
Right.
And so when you'll capitalize on the movements of God and capitalize on how He's doing things and how things are flowing through His program, we'll do ourselves really good. And if you don't, if you're fighting against that, then you wear yourself out.
Right.
You'll wear yourself out trying to fight against the other guy cutting the log. And so we wear ourselves out when we fight against the Word of God. That's why we just wind up just wore plumb out. But if you can get in sync with it, if you can just catch what He's saying and just kind of follow into step with that and make sure you're moving with that and not fighting against it, you will not wear yourself out. You'll actually be able to accomplish those things that God has committed to you with much ease, right? He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, the way we act, sometimes we make that a lot more burden than it really is.
Right.
Amen. And so if we just go with the Word of God. And so, you know, I don't know how people think that they're going to be able to be there on that other side unless they use the Word of God to do it. How are we going to make it if we don't give God audience into our lives, if we're not seeking for Him, we're not going to find Him, right? So there's only one way, and that's through His Word, because it's His kingdom. And so when these things are moving and things are going on, we can't ignore them. We have to face up to them. We have to face up to the truth of His Word, regardless of how much it might sting, how much it might hurt, how much it might bless, how much it might bless others and not us at the moment, and maybe us at the time, maybe not others. It's a living Word. We got to get into the sink with it. And so you can't ignore an earthquake,
right?
You can say, well, there's no earthquake, but you are in... You are in the earth, and it is quaking. And so it's just, you know, we do ourselves better if we could recognize these things. And the reason why I say this is because I'm going to say some things today that, if the Lord allow, permit, that may sound a little bit shocking. But, you know, if it's His Word, then we're okay with it. So I may sound harsh to say this, but I'm not really here as a minister of the gospel. I'm not here to try and convince make-believers and unbelievers.
Right.
I'm not here to do that. I'm not here to convince them. I'm not here to make converts to Christianity by its government, by do's and by don'ts. I'm not here to do that. I'm here to preach the Word so that the environment of the Word, that a revelation will strike your heart, and then you will respond to the revelation that's burning in your heart.
Right.
And I say that because the prophet of God told us, in Christ is the mystery of God revealed, and you know how important that sermon is,
right?
He says, we are not supposed to make converts to Christianity by government, but by the revelation of Christ in you, as God was in Christ. As God was in Christ, Christ in you, what God did in Christ, He does in you. What signs God did in Christ, He does in you. Oh, isn't that beautiful? Oh my, I like that. Jesus said, now listen to this. Jesus said that in that day, and Brother Bram said, that's this day.
Right?
In that day, when the revelation is made known, you will know that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. When the revelation is made manifest. At that day, you should know. Right? So you won't know prior to that, but in this day is the hour that we're going to come to know that the same thing, how that God was in Christ, and Christ was in God, then we're going to know in this day that He's in us and we're in Him.
Amen?
Amen?
Right.
And so, but we're not supposed to be trying to make converts to Christianity by do's and not by don'ts and just simply by a government to come and force them and coerce them. No, it's strictly to come by one way, and that is by revelation of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
When you have that from within inside happening, then nobody has to coerce you to live it. It's what's in you. And so we want to just speak plainly this morning. We know that the bride, it comes by revelation, and we know the prophet told us that the rapture to the bride, the rapture is a revelation, and
that's
she
right.
will be watching for that revelation. She'll be looking
right.
for it.
Amen.
And so we know that there's many churches. There's has been throughout the years, and there are many churches, but there's one bride.
Amen.
One bride of Christ. Churches might be able to approach God, and he, you know, there's different avenues that he works and saves people, but there's one bride of Jesus Christ, and she has to meet that criteria of what the bride is, and she is the only one that can accept all of his word. We believe
right.
that.
Amen. Yes.
And so, as I said, I'm not here to try and convert people or convince to make believers and unbelievers, but what I am here to do is to fortify what's already in you. And I'm speaking to believers. To fortify what's already in you, what you already know, even if you haven't heard it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because it's a seed within you.
Right.
That seed within you has the ability to respond when the water comes, when the sunshine comes, when the word is preached.
Right?
Right? If the seed ain't there, I don't care how much rain, how much sun, it's not coming because there's no seed. But if there is a seed there, when you get that seed of God in the presence of rain and sunshine and all those things that require that, it will live. It will come forth. And so my job is to try and to preach the word, put you in an environment of these things that God is doing so that seed within you can draw strength, can be quickened. And so this morning I want to speak to you about the third Exodus. And I'm titling this, The Open Book. Amen? The open book. So remember what the Exodus was, right? Brother Tim was singing a song there just a little while ago about the children of Israel trying to come out of Egypt there. And so the Exodus was where God's people, I'm going to stress that, where his people had messed around through mistakes and what more, got themselves into bondage, got them into slavery. And so the Exodus is where God came and God set them free, made those captors, let them go, and brought them on a journey. And I want you to remember all these things, all these points I'm talking about, because we're in there somewhere. We're in those steps somewhere. And what we've got to do today is you have to find yourself in this word, and you got to find out what part am I playing in this that we're talking about today, because we're in there. Because we're in a third Exodus. So this Exodus was where God did that, and he took them on a journey. They went through circumstances, and then he finally took them into the promised land, which was a land that he had prepared for them that was theirs. It was theirs all along. It was their inheritance, and so he brought them in there. And there were several events that had to take place to do that. And so we realized that we read in the Bible, there was the Exodus there in the Old Testament. We also understand that when you can see the patterns of what constituted an Exodus there, then you can see it happening again in Jesus' day,
right.
And you can see it prophesied that it would happen again in our day. That's why we can say there's a third Exodus in the fact also that the prophet told us these things and pointed us to them, and we see now that he has it there in the Scriptures. And so in the Exodus, the three Exodus, the first one was where God came to his people who were in bondage to the nation of Egypt, and God took that nation out of a nation and put them in their own promised land to be a nation. So he took a nation out of a nation. In Jesus' day, whenever it comes to the second Exodus, he took a church out of a nation. He took them out and made a church out of them, made a New Testament church. And then here at the end time, God comes and he takes out of that church the bride.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right.
And so he does these things by the Exodus, and he does it by the sequence of events that happened in the Exodus.
Yeah, amen.
And so we ought to be able to, in our day, to look at what's going on in our day. We ought to be able to find that in scriptures, see how it all unfolds, and know exactly where we are in the process.
Yeah.
How close are we to our promised land?
Amen.
Right? By seeing where we are. If you never get into God's word, and you never, then you won't see this. But the word is there to show us so we know exactly who we are, where we're at, the stand that we're taking. We know exactly what that is.
Right.
And so, there's a couple of quotes here I want to read real quick where Brother Man talks about this. He's speaking there in the token, where Egypt is the place and the scene and the time of the scene where was just the beginning of the Exodus. And now it is a type of today showing, as we are also facing another Exodus. God bringing Israel out of Egypt to the promised land was a type of Christ bringing a bride out of a church to the promised land. We are in another Exodus. Now, if you'll study the scriptures, God brought that nation out of a nation, and God will bring a bride out of a church. The bride will be called from all churches. She's called from all churches.
Yep.
It'll be the elect of God. And we'll be brought out. And he said, and we're on the verge of that Exodus right now, for we have every scriptural proof that we're standing there. And now I know it's been said a lot of times, but my friends, one time it will be the last time.
Yes.
Time will fade into eternity then. He's coming to take a bride out of a church. The token was the only thing that made the difference between Egypt and Israel, the two nations.
Right.
Amen. And so when we're talking about a third Exodus, there is God's people was in bondage. He's going to set them free. He's going to take them through a journey, and he's going to put them in the promised land, and there's going to be something that will make the difference between God's people and the rest.
Right.
Right? And that was token. And then in the invisible union of the bride of Christ, Brother Branham was speaking about how that we came to this nation to get away from persecution, religious persecution. And he says the pilgrim fathers were thankful for their new found way of life. Coming here, new found way of life.
Right.
Being separated from the old English denominations and creeds, they could marry into the new anointed word for their age. These are key topics here.
Right.
The new anointed word for their age. They could be married to that because they had separated from the old.
Right.
It has to be a separation from the old. And so they could marry the new anointed word for their age. That's right. The new anointed word for their age, for their day. So, Brother Branham says, so can we be thankful as the pilgrims, like Abraham, who separate ourselves from the things of the world, all of our associates. Abraham was a pilgrim, and God had separated us from all dead religion. And he said, I'm speaking to the nation now, because he was on the telephone hookup. All dead creeds. He said, separated us and opened to us a new land. A new land, he says, a new message for this day. So he's making the parallel here. We have a new land that God is bringing us into. We're separating from the things that held us in bondage. We've got a new land, and he calls it a new message.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it to be the open book, and how that God opened his Bible to us, made the Bible the new book. And so a new message for our day. He said Pentecost has dried up. Like Luther and Wesley and the rest of them did. It's no more than a bunch of churches pulled together, but God's got people in there yet that's got to come out.
Yeah.
Amen. How thankful we are for that.
Right.
About to fight with this thing. You don't normally do that. Amen. So, coming out in an Exodus, coming into a new land, a new message, an open book. And this new land, this was where our inheritance is, right? And so this was the opening of his word. This was where he comes and he claims his people. He shows who they are. He gives them their inheritance, which means there's an Ephesians. Ephesus has to come again, as the prophet said. And so we want to watch these parallels here. And some of these things are astounding. So how did the Exodus start? We talked about Moses. How did the Exodus start? Well, it started long before that, in a prophecy that was given that said, your seed will sojourn in a strange land, they'll be afflicted and so forth, but I will come, I will bring them out with a mighty hand. That's where it started.
Right.
But then one day when the time drew nigh, God put his hand down on a normal, ordinary man that couldn't do anything, put his hand upon that man and made that man become the deliverer to come in and to judge Egypt and to set God's people free from the things that was there, that they were under bondage to. And so we understand how that works. And so then a prophet came on the scene. And with a mighty hand, he judged those captors who were keeping Israel. Now, if we are in a third Exodus, then how did it start? Well, it started by a prophecy that said, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet.
Amen.
Right? You remember what Elijah did? He restored Israel. Brought them out of idolatry, restored them. So he says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet. Okay, he spoke that. That has to come to pass. We can't just ignore that. That has to happen somewhere in history.
Right.
We just happen to know that we're in that history now.
Right.
But it started with a prophecy, and then all of a sudden, when the time drew nigh, God put his hand on the one man who was just a normal man. But because God chose him and made him what he is, then he became one bringing a message of deliverance. And so, if we are in a third Exodus, then who is our Moses? What were we in bondage to? What events came to take us out of bondage? What is our journey, our wilderness journey, this space of time where we're not no longer in bondage, but we're also not in the promise yet. What is that journey? And then what is the promised land? And what is the events that take place to get us into the promised land and all the steps along the way? What is that? And then so what is the proof that once we're in that promised land? What will be the proof of that? Amen. So we need to face up to these questions and you know, sling anything off to the side that's wrong kind of thinking about these things.
Right.
So, we know that the prophet Moses, he judged Egypt, and we all the time talk about Egypt is a type of sin, so if you're just a regular person, you know that he can set you free from a sinful nature, whatever, but it's also a type of denominations. Basically, all religions in this world that are outside of Christ,
right,
he had to judge it. Because there's only one truth that's really gonna take the people in. Everything else is sort of lie, some other system. And so when God wants to line everybody up with his truths, it has to be a judgment to everything else outside of it. Mm-hmm. Right? And so all religion outside of Christ. But I'll say this, especially Pentecost, because Pentecost was further down the road. They should have known more. They had more of God working throughout the ages. They had a greater movement, and so he had to judge them. Every place that they were not scriptural, he had to condemn that. He had to express that their abuse of the gifts and how that they would have their services and the preaching never wouldn't even be done. They just, you know, spent all their time running the floors and all the different things like that. And so became abusive to the restoration of the gifts and so forth. How they allowed women to preach, and he just go on and on. He had to address those things, right?
Right.
So anything that was not scriptural. And so when Moses came there to set the people free, he had the word of the Lord. He didn't need any counsel from anybody else, right? When our prophet this day came and he had to address this situation, he just used the Bible. He used the word of the Lord. And he doesn't need anybody else's backing up to do that. It was Bible. That's all it is. And that's why he put the challenge out. Well, show me where what he said is not scriptural. It is scriptural. And so he did that. And so we realize that when God made man, but then man come along and makes slaves. And so slaves You know, God, man will take and put somebody down and put them in a place where they can't get free and use them to build their kingdom. Right? But what did God do? God came down and used his own resources to build us up. Right?
Right?
But when you get outside of Christ, instead of living for others, you get outside of Christ, now you're trying to put others underneath you so that you can get rich off of their backs. This is what denomination does. This is what man-made religion does. Because Christ's not in it, then they're building their own kingdoms and their own names, and they're happy to have you underneath their system and keep you held down with doctrinal lies and things like that so that you can't rise up. They'll bless you with just enough blessings to keep you somewhat happy, but not let you have enough where you can rise up and get free. Right? So that's the way it is with all things like that. It doesn't do any good if you want to get rich off of the backs of others, you got to appease them some, but yet hold them down so that you can get the resources. See? And so that's the difference there. So when Moses had to come there, he had to come to that system that had God's people held down into slavery, and he had to judge it and destroy that so that those people would be left set free. So in our day, the same thing would have to happen. The prophet would have to come, and he would have to address the things that had us bound down. False teachings, false doctrines, things that weren't right, because we were held by not understanding. So he had to go and destroy those things. And the first place he destroys it in is in our own mind. Destroy that kind of thinking.
Right.
But we also know the same prophet, literally, by his presence here on this earth, unleashed the judgment that is causing this world to fall apart.
Right.
Right? So it's more than just the spiritual things going on that bleeds over into natural. This world is falling apart.
That's right.
Right? And it's the result of the hour that we're in and God fulfilling his word.
Right.
And what I said, you may say, well, Brother Tony, I don't like that. I love my world. I love my country. We do too, right? But get in sync with the word.
Right.
Man. Get in sync with it.
Right.
Because if it says it's time, listen, you don't want to stay here when it comes body change time.
No.
You want a body change. You want to be in that over there on that other side.
Right.
And so we gotta remember that. Amen. And so God uses his strength, his resources to build us up. And so in order for him to set people free, he had to go there and bring judgment to them. So Moses comes on the scene, and he has three pulls in his ministry. He has the stick he throws on the ground. That's one pull. That's one sign. He had two signs given him. Then he had where he could put his hand in his bosom. Bring it out, be leprous, put it back, come out, be whole. Right? And then the Lord said, and if they won't believe the first two signs. Now think about this. If first pull and second pull doesn't do it, they better the third one. Right? Or else, if they don't, I'm just going to pour, like the prophet said, blood. It just, the whole thing, judgment.
Right.
So you got to understand that that third one, that's where it's at. Right? That's the one that if we don't receive that, then the whole thing's over with and done with.
Yep.
Right? And so Moses began to show his first sign, his second sign, and all the miracles and things he did there in Egypt, and which was his first and second pull. And then Israel, many of those people, they got on board with it. They realized, okay, God's doing a great thing here. This Exodus is on. And so among Israel, as Moses was doing the signs and wonders, and people begin to realize, then people begin to say, hey, have you heard? God has sent a prophet. We're being visited by God through a prophet, and he brought a message, and we're going free now. So a lot of people got excited about that, and we know they came out and through the Red Sea and all the things that happened there. But it wasn't very long after that till they entered into the wilderness journey. And so, you know, there was a certain luxury, even though they were slaves back in Egypt, there was a certain luxury there because they speak about it. They speak about the things that were there that they could freely have that was blessings, and yet they were slaves. And yet, as slaves, they were not where God wanted them to be. Right?
Right.
All right? And so, soon after they went into this wilderness journey, you can imagine they come out, praise God, the prophet, the sea split, and we came across, and all the Egyptians are dead, and praise God, and we're ready to go to the promised land right now. And yet, they didn't go into the promised land right now. Because God had a little bit of a journey for him.
Yep.
Just a little bit of a journey for him. For a purpose. To test them.
That's
to
right.
try them.
That's right.
Right?
Yep.
Wasn't to say, for them to say, oh, no. It was to test them, to try them, to see.
Right.
And you've heard this phrase. You can bring people out of the world, but you got to get the world out of the people. You could bring Israel out of Egypt, but if Egypt was still in Israel, there's a problem.
That's right.
Right? So in this day, the prophet could come and bring us out of organized religion and all the things of the world. He can bring us out of that, excuse me. But then, do we have that still in us? So the journey is to flush that out. The trials is to flush that out. You have trials. It will test you. Do you really want to go with God on these things, to stay with Him? And so that's what it was for. Done for a purpose, to see if they wanted to turn back. You know, the Lord said that if you put your hand to the plow, right, and then turn and look back. And I will tell you that. And my Aunt Mary, I love it that she's here with us because she saw me growing up and she can vouch for the stories I tell when I tell this. We had quite a bit of garden spot and a lot of my job was to run a tiller. And I remember having been told this, that this is the way to do it. You'd put your eye on one thing right there, and if you would keep your eye on that all the time, you would have a perfectly straight row. But if you try and turn and look around like that, then you'd be all over the place. And the Lord said, when you're going to put your hand to the plow, if you turn while you're doing it and you look back, you're not worthy.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
See, and so here we see this in Israel as they're coming out and they go into this journey. God is looking to see if they're looking back.
Yeah.
Right? And so He lets things happen to see what they're going to do. And so, very, very interesting things that take place here. And so, also in the book of Hebrews, it talks about, Hebrews 11, it talks about that all the different ones that it lists in faith there, you know, he says, and I forget the exact wording, but, you know, they had opportunity that they could have returned, but they didn't. They stayed faithful. I mean, that was the scripture I'm talking about, right?
Right.
They were being tested and tried, and even Moses had to look down and take the reproach of Christ to be as greater riches to him than all the riches of Egypt. We all have to come to that place where we catch it by revelation. It can't be head knowledge. You've got to catch by revelation that the reproach of this word is greater riches than anything the world could give us. We have to come to that person. And if you try to walk this walk and that revelation is not in your heart, the trials are going to make you want to go back. And I'm asking you as we preach this morning, where are you? What part of this journey are you in? What position are you taking as this is unfolding? Because hard trials will test you. And if you really aren't built on faith, then you're going to want to start trying to go back to something that was a little easier. Right? Because
right.
He never told us this was going to be easy, but He did say, I'll be with you.
Yeah. Right.
So what I'm saying is can we see ourselves in the Word and realize that these testings and tryings, no matter how glorious the message is to us, these testings and tryings come to see, have we truly got the world out of us? Have we truly got Egypt out of us? Do we truly have denominational mindset out of us? Or do we still really secretly in our hearts desire some of those things we once had?
No.
Follow me?
Yeah.
So that's what, and so I can say that if you find yourself in trial and you find yourself like, this is too hard, I don't think it should, I want to go back to something, then you, where are you in this unfolding? Where are you in this message?
Yes, amen.
Where are you, what point, what position are you taking? Amen. So, you can see from the type here that after they came out and some wanted to return, then you know that in this end time message, that there are people who came out rejoicing, but after a while, because we didn't enter right into body change right off the bat, now they start, because of trials, they start wanting to return back, revert back to something a little bit easier. Right? Can we see it? Can we see what's going on in our day from these scriptures right here? They started wanting to go back, and so they started wanting to return back, and in the message, we'll turn back, and especially to Pentecost. Especially to Pentecost. So, we'll read Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. Now look at this. God's word is for his elect. But there's always another group that tries to get in there with it and go along too. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 through 6. Do you have it? And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. Freely. And the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. So you see what's going on here. They're out here and things have changed. And maybe there's a little bit of struggle or something like that. And they're remembering, oh, remember how wonderful it was back in denomination or back in the world or back in Pentecost. And because it's different now. But here we're on our way to our promised land. Back here we weren't.
Right?
Right? We're on our journey, but yet it becomes like, well, I just want to go back. Right? That's the natural typing there showing us these things. And so, but now our soul is dried away and there is nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Amen. So, they're basically saying, you know, well, at least back in Egypt, we were slaves, yes, we were slaves, but at least back there we had fish and cucumbers and melons and we had, you know, and so, because right here all we've got is this. All we've got is this manna.
Uh-huh.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
Right? Sounds bizarre, but you know, human nature, there has this thing about it that you can become desensitized after a while and something you rejoiced in early on and then you start despising it.
Yep.
Right? So, that's what they did. So, in our day, people deciding, well, we want to go back and we want to have the meetings and we want to have the great things like we had in denominations. We want to have the manifestation we had back there because we don't seem to have those kinds of great meetings where people are slaying in the spirit and speaking in tongues and all that. And we want to go back to that. That's what we ought to have.
Yeah, that was
right?
Yeah.
That's what we ought to have, what we want to have. I mean, it's Bible, right? We want what it used to be, but see, the appetite or the diet, the food for them had changed.
Right.
You could no longer eat what you could no longer partake of and enjoy what you had back in Egypt.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Now you had to eat what God was providing.
Yeah.
And they despised it. So, well, all we've got is this. I mean, this movement in this message is not as exciting. We want it to be like it was over here.
Oh my.
So it's not like, you know, and yet this is what God had provided.
Yeah.
And what had he provided? Bread from heaven every day.
Yeah. Provided the word.
One revelation after another.
Right.
One revelation. But they don't want revelation. They want the feel good and the good times and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Right.
That's it. So, you know, give us this day our daily bread. So who was the mixed multitude? Well, you know that the elect, because it says the mixed multitude, they were lusting and so forth, and Israel also got caught up in all this stuff, and they said, well, where are we going to get meat? Right? Because all we got is this stuff. Amen. There probably wasn't any sugar, diabetes, or heart trouble, or anything like that when they was eating manna from heaven.
Right?
But we want this. So, food from heaven that God was providing, they didn't want it. And so the mixed multitude, you had Israel, which was God's elect people. They were the seed of Abraham coming out, right? Then you had some others that were on board with the same movement.
Uh-huh, right.
And trials and stuff is going to declare that. And so they begin to say these things, begin to have that. And so a mixed multitude, well, it was make-believers, right? And make-believers are just simply unbelievers who are pretending.
Right.
That's right. That's true. Just unbelievers that are pretending. But the trials will make that come out and show that they're just make-believers.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So, some of them began to speak against the thing that they once held dear. A lot of it is, you know, God wants us to have a walk of faith. Faith means intellectually you don't know what tomorrow holds. But you know who holds it.
Right.
These children of Israel, they were used to, they knew what the condition was. They were happy with being slaves because there was a certain normality to their daily thing, and that was okay. But then when you tell them, we've got to come out here, and now we don't know what's going to happen. Now we have to walk by faith. We don't want to do that. So there's a faith issue.
Right.
There's a faith issue in the promise of God. And so God couldn't take them right out of Egypt and put them right in the promised land because you'd had in the promised land a bunch of folks that didn't belong there.
Right.
So there's not going to be somebody going rapture that don't belong. So between this great message of a prophet taking us out of denominational religion, God's got to have trials come along to make sure that it's all out of us
before
he lets us go in. Because death doesn't change you. It just changes your dwelling place. As the prophet said, if you're a hothead here, you'd be a hothead there. Right? If you're an unbeliever here, you wouldn't be there. If you're a make-believer here, you would be there. So the only ones that hit rapture morning and go in that is true believers, the elect of God.
Yeah, that's right.
The trials that come along the way is to vet that out.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Because we wonder, why are we still here? Okay? Why are we still here? Cannot deny that God did a great supernatural, and he is doing great supernatural, but visited this generation. They can't deny that.
Yeah.
They're total reprobate to try and deny it.
Yeah.
But there were people who once loved it and now begin to turn back from it because they didn't want to have to walk in faith. And they said, well, at least in Egypt we knew what tomorrow held for us. We don't know this. But it's a walk of faith. You know. And without faith, it's impossible to please God.
Right.
Try to apply that to your life.
Right.
Try to say, you know what? There's things in my life I don't like not knowing. But God's answer to that is to believe me.
Amen, that's right.
Believe me.
Amen.
It'll take care of itself.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Believe me.
Right.
Amen. So, there were others that were jealous of Moses. We talked about them the other day, Dathan and Korah. Hey, we're holy too. You know, there's no shortage of religious ministers and people who they're under the banner of the message, but really, they're building their own kingdom.
Right.
And they're more than happy to to put others under by doctrinal things and all, so they can have their kingdom, but these people can't truly rise up and go on into the promises because they're held back by these preachers. Follow me?
Right.
You know that's gone. Right. That has happened. See?
Right.
So, there's those like Dathan and Korah, and they begin to speak against those things, and of course, you know what happens to those people like that. You know, the earth swallowed them up. Hey,
right.
You know what this is made of?
Earth. That's right, earth.
These people who finally decide, this prophet, this message, enough. I'm going back. They're swallowed up with the things of the flesh.
Yeah, right.
You know them.
Yeah.
You've seen it. You can't make this word lie. It just takes God to enlighten us to be able to see what's going on. And so again, I'll ask you many times through this. Where are you in this? What part are you playing? Are you the one that's decided, well, this is, I'm going to go back to something else because this ain't right. Because if you identify yourself in that spot, you know what road you're on. You know where you're heading because it declares it. Right there. So my counsel is, if someone's trying to get you to doubt, won't you want to go back to sin or back to the world or back to denomination, you need to know where that's taking you.
Right.
There will be no deliverance. It's back into bondage, and this time for good.
Yeah.
See?
Right.
Amen. Don't you think that it hurt the children of Israel when they saw their own companions, their own brothers and sisters, make that choice and see what happened to them?
Yep.
Right. We're well identified with that. Amen.
Right.
We are well identified with that. They're not even in this portion of the scriptures what we're talking, they're not even to the promised land yet, and they're already blowing up a bunch of them.
Right.
They were only about 40 miles away from the promised land. The whole journey was only about 40 miles, something like that. You know, my normal walking pace is 3 miles per hour. I broke down up in the woods one time, and I walked 8 miles, and it took me 2 hours and 20 minutes. And I know my walking space, you know, like that, is that. And so when they asked me how far it was that I broke down when I got to camp, I said it was 8 miles. I'm telling you the truth. And so when we went out the next morning to come by, because I had a flat tire, and the tire that came with the truck was a Chevy car rim, not a Chevy truck rim, and I had driven the truck for about 11 years with that, and never needed it, and then when I needed it, it didn't fit.
Yep.
So we drove from camp back, and guess what? It was 8 miles, give or take a tenth. See? But my point is, 2 to 3 days journey is all it would have took to get there. Right? And during that short journey, it blew up. We didn't get very far from the prophet and those things, magnificent pillar of fire, all that stuff happening there when he was here. We didn't get very far until boom, all this minister and that, and they're fighting and all this and disagreeing and stuff. And you think we can go in underneath that?
Nope.
What is it? It's a testing time, a trying time. But during that, if you don't know, you look at it, it's just, there's nothing true. But no, it's God's word coming to pass. The trials that must be there to purge out unrighteousness out of his church and out of his kingdom. Because he said, I will provide for myself a bride without spot or blemish or wrinkle or any such thing. Amen. So they're headed to the promised land, and then they come to Kadesh Barnea. By the way, that's where Moses messed up and, you know, what he did. But at Kadesh Barnea, that's where it came time where they said, all right, we're going to send these 12 spies into the land, one for each tribe. Send them into the promised land. Go check it out. These men went there and they went through all the land because they were able to come back and tell what was there. And I liken this to ministry, ministers who went into this open book word. They went into the word to see what all it was. And when they came back, most of them come back and said, we can't do this. We cannot move into this third pool because Brother Branham didn't really explain it. But you understand, he couldn't explain it. But yet it has to be revealed. Right? He couldn't explain it because Satan was trying to imitate it. But to those who actually enter in, it becomes a revelation. So among those people, you cannot take this thing and say, well, we just can't go there. No, we have to get into it. We have to understand by our faith walk what God has done in our day. And so Kadesh Barnea, they sent him out there and they come back and says, well, we can't take this land. And because that territory is territory that's not meant for unbelievers and make believers. They can't really, it's not for them, you know. And so going into that is a process too. It's not just like you set foot in there and now it's, no, it's, there's overcoming you have to do. So we had the things happening in our day, and so what are they going to do in our day? They're going to do the same things they did in Moses' day. They're going to doubt, question, bring evil report, try to make it look like it's not. And all it is just, as we'll talk about here in just a little bit, a breach. A breach in God's promise that he spoke of. He called it a breach. And we'll get there in just a moment. So, many said, we cannot go in. And so when they said that, you realize that here we are on this message banner, and we're looking at this as ministers and coming back and saying, well, you know, the prophet, so you know, we can't preach on the seventh seal, you know, because he's, you know, and set the seven thunders that uttered, you know, and I, you know, and so they come back and they say, we just can't go there. But by revelation, the bride, it will be revealed, she can go there. You see what I'm saying? She can.
Right.
And so here's these people who are refusing to fully walk into full faith and go right on in and possess all these things that are told us from the opening of the new book, of the new message of the book.
Right.
It's telling us how to get there.
Right.
Prior to that opening, you don't know. And as long as you sit back over here with a mindset of, you know. But God has provided it, and it's by revelation. All you got to do is just accept his word and get
right.
to in sync with it, and he begins to reveal these things.
Right.
And so the rapture becomes a revelation. How to get to that
right.
promised land. Amen. How to go in and possess the things that he has told us that this new book has revealed to us and is there for us. So when they do that, you realize when they come back with an evil report and all that, they're not sufficiently moved by the word that's being opened to us. I mean, to the bride, this is, you know, I think that whenever my wife and I, we first met, I think that whenever she would see me, her heart would probably pound. I hope. I you know what I'm saying? We should be sufficiently moved. I would think that she was sufficiently moved by my presence to marry me. Right? So they're not sufficiently moved to accept these promises. And so what they needed instead of that, instead of a walk by faith, is they need tradition. They need the religious. So and so you realize that revelation today becomes tradition tomorrow. Right? So for the generation that the revelation drops in their heart, that is their salvation. That's their way. But the next generation that tries to live the same thing becomes tradition. And therefore, by tradition, it is not their way in. Because there's a revelation for their day for them to go through. You understand? God has a revelation for every people of every age. And so you can come along and say, well, we speak in tongues. Because they did it back then. Yeah, that was something the Holy Spirit was emphasizing back in the Pentecostal movement, emphasizing restoration of gifts, but that's not what he's emphasizing now. So to stand here and say, well, here's the proof. I knew what they did there. No, the proof is the reception of the word for the day. Amen. So they made it, those preachers that went over there and spied out the open book and come back, they made it so that nobody else could enter there. By the way they preached and by the way they, well, held people, what? Held them down but had ministries.
Right?
Just another form of what was taking place back in Egypt. And so you know what happens to those kinds of people. So those, you know, they complained, they murmured, you brought us out here to our children, we're all just going to die here, our children's going to die out here in the desert and so forth. We'd be better if we just stayed back there. Plenty of opportunity for all of us to have that thought come through our mind as we walk this journey and believe, amen.
Yeah.
To come through and say, well, it was better back there, because back in denomination we had big programs and our kids had things of. They could do, and it made them, you know, there's games they could play and big programs and all that. We don't have that over here. And when you revert to that kind of thinking, you're not sufficiently moved by the word that says, I'm going to do much more than they could. I'm going to take you into the land of the eternal. So you've fallen back in your thinking to go, well, you know, and you begin to compromise so you can take your family and your children back into something that's more comfortable rather than having faith in God to believe that God can do exactly what he said and me and my house will be saved.
Amen.
It's a faith issue.
Amen. Right.
Amen. To believe God's word. They said, oh, our children and so forth. And so then God says, you know what? Because you refuse to go in, here's what's going to happen. You're going to die here in this wilderness. You may be less than 40 miles away, but I'm going to make it where you can't go. You're going to be on the dead man's walk, just going around in circles.
Yep.
You're not going to go in, but them children that you accused me of them going to die underneath my leadership, them children are going to go in. You're not.
That's right.
That's what their scripture said. They're going to go in. And however, if you want to know why we're still here, they're going to go in, but said, however, your children are going to suffer your whoredoms. Mm-hmm. What is he saying? Because of your whoredoms and wanting something else instead of following my word, you're going to circle around here for 40 years and your children are going to have to walk that with you. But at some point, after all of you have died off, I'm going to take them on in. Can you see our day?
Right, right.
See all the nodding heads? Yes.
Yep,
we wonder why things have gone the way it has. Why are we still here? What's all this in the message? And all that and all these different things. Because there is a pure message, but a lot of people have made it a message.
Yeah, right.
Right? But there is a pure message. Amen. And so, he goes on. And let's just read Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. We're going to read this because I want you to see it. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation that won't enter into my promised land? You understand what he's saying? That won't enter in, which murmur against me. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me.
Yeah.
It's God you're murmuring against when you do this, right?
Right?
Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, ye, as ye have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. You claim you're going to die here? Okay, you're going to.
Yeah.
Your faith, or lack thereof, produces exactly what? Right? So since you doubted, that's exactly what's going to happen. But if you'd have had faith to believe, you could have went right on in. Right? So he says, your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into this land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun.
Uh-huh.
Right? But your little ones, which ye said shall be a prey, them I will bring in, and they shall know the land which ye have despised.
Yep. My.
They're going to enjoy these blessings of coming from the open book word of this new land, new message, but you're not.
Right.
But they're not going to fully enter into that until after you have died off.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Right. But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. And your children and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. You want to know why we're still here? Because of those who've done what we're talking about.
That's right.
Right?
Exactly.
But when the time is done and God gets done what all he's describing here, he will take his people in. Man. So, this was at Kadesh Barnea. So now we come to the place where Moses, my servant, is dead. The coming out portion is completed, but we're not in. Right? Moses, my servant, is dead. The things of the message that would set us free from denominational teaching, but then now we're coming over here, and it's moving from the prophet and the great things God did through him. Now it's moving into, hey, each one of us have to get up and do our work.
Right.
Each one of us now have to go in and possess that land. Go in and possess those things that the Word has revealed to us.
Amen.
Right?
Right?
Go and possess those things. The manna ceased. The next morning when they entered in past that, there wasn't no more manna.
Right.
So remember, they had things that they were eating in Egypt and all that, but then the diet changed because now you're going to feed off of revelation that just going to fall right into your lap.
Mm-hmm.
One revelation after another, just falls, just glorious years since the prophet left and all that, just glorious things, just enjoying the word and such wonderful things. And all of a sudden, when it comes time to start moving into that land, all that stops.
Uh-huh.
Now what do you got to do? Now, what you're going to eat, what you're going to be sustained with, is what you gain from possessing what he gave you. Right? You understand? That ceased. And now they had to go in and actually set foot on the land, defeat the enemies, start growing their crops, and they could eat. But the only way they could eat off that was to possess it.
Yeah, right.
So when you got people now that the manna is ceasing and revelations aren't falling like they, we can't have all those glorious things, and now we realize now it's more of a struggle, more of a fight. What is God telling us? God is telling us, possess your land. Take these promises, make them happen, and you'll find strength and substance from that taking of that land.
Yep.
But if you don't do that, then you're sitting here like, oh, I'm starving. Right? What are you doing? Have you got up in your spiritual walk? Are you doing the work? Are you possessing these things that God said you could have, which includes a body change? See, the revelation will take you there.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
See, the Holy Spirit, like we read earlier, Pentecost has dried up. We said many times, if Pentecost would have given us a body change, we'd have been gone a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right? That's not where it's at. It's in the Word.
Oh, right.
So, the Holy Spirit is not focusing on going backwards.
Right?
Right? He wants to take you forward.
Right.
Take you to the land. Amen. The land so that you can live and bask in your new message and start moving into this land. So this takes us back to the scripture we read. what he said to Joshua, who's going to take these people, and under Joshua's ministry, the people are underneath that banner. They're going in, and they're all going to find their place in Christ. They're all going to find their gift and how to operate it. They're not going to be trying to be in somebody else's land. Preacher's not trying to act like somebody else.
Right.
They're underneath this Joshua ministry. They're going to go in. They're going to have battles, but they're going to defeat. And the promise is not a man will be able to stand before you. Right? It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Everything you'll need, you'll never be defeated. Everything, every place you set your foot on will be yours.
Right.
There's a quote where Brother Ben says, whatsoever God leads your heart to believe, that he has given to you.
Yep.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
So underneath this Joshua ministry, where everything changes, and now, but you're going into there, and this is the Ephesus again, as the prophet said. We must have another Ephesus again, where God's people are placed. And they begin to come into this, and the promise is that nothing will defeat you.
Right.
Okay? But then we had an Achan. Achan rose up. Remember him? Achan rose up, and when they went into Jericho, and they destroyed the city, and it was cursed. Don't take nothing. It's a cursed system.
Yep.
Right? Cursed. God destroyed it, brought out Rahab and her family, but other than that, it was destroyed. Don't touch any of that. And Achan comes along, and he sees a Babylonian garments, some gold and some silver and a wedge of gold. And so he secretly takes that, and he hides it in his tent. Right? So now Israel, all of Israel here, and they're here, and they're underneath Joshua's ministry, and they've got their promises. Nothing, and that God will never leave you or forsake you. Everything's going to be fine. But secretly, in Israel, there was a man who had done something he shouldn't have done. He went, and he took this Babylonian garment, this silver, and this wedge of gold, and he hid it. And so, these people are in confidence. So confident that when they went and they spied out this city called Ai. Think about what we're up against, Ai. They went to go out to Ai,
right?
And they said, piece of cake. You don't have to send very many, but just send 2,000 or 3,000. That's all you'll need to do.
Right.
Yeah. So confident. We'll take care of this. We're God's people, and we're gonna go out there. We'll just wipe them off real quick. But they didn't know there was an Achan. There's a concept here. They go out there, and Ai smites them, and they're smitten. I think it was 36 men, I believe it was, that died. And Joshua, God had told him, and so Joshua says, time out, stop, something's wrong here. Because God promised we wouldn't have this stuff going on in the message. Something's wrong. There's too many preachers doing things wrong. Something's wrong. You understand? And so he goes before the Lord, and the Lord says, bring them tomorrow, take them by tribe, by family, and we'll find out what's going on. And so they did, and they come all the way down and found out it was Achan. And so they said, Achan, you're in big trouble. You might as well go ahead and give glory to God. You might as well go ahead and testify that God is right, because you've done wrong and you need to fess up to what it is. And he did. He said, yep, you're right, I did. Because when we were there, I saw this Babylonian garments, silver and a wedge of gold, and I coveted it, and I took it and I hid it inside my tent. And so Joshua sends men, and they go to Achan's tent, and they dig it up, and yep, sure enough, here it is, and they bring it right there, and there it is. You know the story. And keep in mind, now we're starting into this promise, and now there's an authority coming back to the church. So the children of Israel take him out, him and his family and his animals, everything that pertained to him, because he had taken hold of something that was cursed. Now he was cursed, not just him, but his family, His animals, everything about it was all cursed. And they stoned him and murdered him. Right? And now the Lord says to Joshua, now go to Ai. Go take care of them. And they do. They wipe them out. Amen?
Right.
So here we are. We're so far into the message now that we're actually beginning to come into our inheritance. People are beginning to understand who they are. They're beginning to realize, I'm a son of God.
Amen.
And God has promised me that if I get all the filth out of my life, that things are hindered, that nothing will be able to stand. I'll be able to pray for my children, my family, all these things. I will have success. Because I'm now, and so in a time like that, where we've advanced that far and great things is about to happen, and then you have somebody among us that wants to wear a Babylonian garment.
Yep.
You remember what Babylon is? Catholic Church, organized religion. Protestant churches who are daughters, whores, harlots.
Yep. Amen.
Right? It's done been declared by this voice what that is. The Bible said it's fallen. It's fallen. Come out from among that. Don't be found wearing none of their garments.
Right. Amen.
But here you had a man warning it.
Yep.
So it wasn't so much to have a garment or whatever, but that garment. Where it come from, because spirits travel with apparel and trends and things like that, and unbelievers doubt that, and they partake of it, and guess what? They get wound up in that spirit to come with it. And so we're talking about a total purging that's got to take place. To take this land, all this stuff's got to be purged out. We cannot be trying to dress and hang on to Babylonian stuff. Even their holidays. You can't be doing that. The word reveals it.
Right?
Right? He wanted to do that in this hour. He wanted to be like that. And so, you know what happened there? We said what happened, but he wanted silver and there was a wedge of gold. Isn't it interesting it calls it a wedge? Why was it a wedge? Why wasn't it coins? Or bars, or ingots, or dust.
Right.
It was a wedge. I looked it up.
Yeah.
It was a common way for them to transport gold back then. I think it's real neat that it's a wedge because riches will drive a wedge between you and your God and the things that you should be doing. It doesn't mean you can't have money, some money. But riches drive a wedge.
Right?
Right? Riches drive a wedge. And that's what's, and you know what the New Testament talks about. They, through many hurtful sorrows and things, because they desire riches and so forth. God can have people that are rich, but you'll find those people who are real, genuine Christians, they have lots of money, and they do so much with it for the Lord. They're just like a conduit.
Right?
Right? So it was a wedge. Wedge of gold. And I looked that up. They said it was about 1.25 pounds. And that would be probably $60,000 to $70,000 worth. So tell me, if you're serving the Lord, and God has said, don't bother that. That's tainted. You can get gold from somewhere else, but don't get it from Babylon or from Jericho or whatever. Right? Don't. Right? Remember where Abraham said to the king of Sodom, you ain't making me rich. I'm not going to let that, you know. So, nothing wrong with having, but don't take that kind. And so, you're going along, and you're like, wow. There's just by doing this right here, I can enrich myself with $70,000 just like that. Maybe nobody will know about it. But it's God that you're living before. Right? You can't hide from Him.
Right?
I was listening, we were fellowshipping the other night, I was to the testimony of Brother Riley. He's talking about he, I don't remember all the details, but he left and he went across the country, was somewhere, and he went and he started staying with some people, and he was staying on their back porch. He was down the hill from a payphone up on top of the hill, and he's, nobody knew he was there. Listen to what I'm saying. Nobody knew he was there. And all of a sudden, somebody knocks on the door and says, yeah, I'm looking for Dawson, or whatever his name was. What is it, Dawson Riley? I'm looking for Dawson Riley. He says, and they come and say, yeah, there's a guy at the front door who's asking for you. He's like, nobody knows I'm here. So he goes to the door. This is Brother Riley's testimony. He goes to the door. He said, yeah, there's the phone call coming on the phone up there and asking for you. And he goes up there and it's Brother Branham on the phone. And I say to you this, how can you hide from a God like that? You see what I'm saying? It is time that we make sure we have no Babylonian garments and we don't have any ill-gained anything in our lives. Amen. You know, Brother Tim and I, we talk about retirement. There's nothing wrong. Brother Branham said you should invest and all that. We've talked about it. Very careful. God is number one.
Right.
He may not let us retire. But we're planting our potatoes. Yeah. Right? Not that we want to stop and not do nothing, but you understand. Right. So there's a right balance in all those things. Amen.
Right.
The source it come from. See, I'll end it right here. The Holy Spirit is focused on taking us in.
That's right. Exactly.
He's not focused on trying to get us to reenact things of the past, which were okay. But they're not going to do what we need now. What we need now is this open book.
Right.
Our new land, new message. And we need to step into that land, take those promises, and destroy every enemy, because God has said, if you'll do that, I'll make sure.
Yep.
Don't miss this. I'll make sure that nothing will stand before you.
Amen. That's right.
That's His word.
Right.
Now, because we have an end time message, we've been given privilege to look into the word and see how that whole scenario fits right in our day. That's the blessing of being underneath an end time message, because we can look into the Bible. This is how the Bible's become a new book, because we can look at all the same things that everybody else looks at, and we see it in our day, and therefore, I know where we are in this process. I know what attitude I have toward the Word, so I know who represents me in the Scriptures, and I know what my outcome is. We should take this very serious, because this is what God is revealing. Amen?
Right.
We don't want to stick our head in the sands like they say ostriches do, which they don't. Right? We don't want to do that. Amen. How many knows that God's word, He knows how to rebuke? You know, a lot of times God will rebuke you. You're going to go do something, you got the wrong attitude about something, and all of a sudden it just blows up in your face, and you're like, what happened? Because God's rebuking. Right? He knows how to do that. So, as I've said so many times, His no's are better than His yes's if no is His perfect will. Amen. I think the prophet actually said that.
Amen.
Let's just pray. We'll let Brother Tim and Sister Anna come this morning. We appreciate each one of you being here and listening to me.
Amen.
Amen. I promise you that what I bring to you, I don't put it together myself. It comes from the Lord.
Amen.
It's a fearful thing to come and minister if you're thinking you're going to do it by yourself. Amen. Let's just pray. Lord Jesus, we appreciate you, Lord. We appreciate this time, this place. We appreciate these people that come out to hear your word. Lord, I appreciate their amens. Like your prophet said, it's like saying sicken. I appreciate those things, Lord. But most of all, Lord, I appreciate this message that you have allowed us to look into. And Lord, I know that You have said that more is required of those that more is given. And that's the desire of our hearts, Lord, is that we can live in such a way that we can properly represent you to this world. It is our desire, Lord, that we can fully enter in and possess these things even before our body changes. So we ask, God, that through these things, through the ministry of the words, that we, Lord, can find ourselves. And if we are finding ourselves doubting and in a position and where we're struggling, may we realign ourselves with the word, realign ourselves with what we see in the scripture and what we talk about today. Realign ourselves so that we know what the outcome is. And that creates faith. When we believe your word, then it creates faith in our hearts to go strong in the face of the enemy because we know that you're with us. I ask for this blessing upon each one of your children, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.
I feel the cold. those, by the time they went through all the Dathans and the Korahs and they're coming in and Achan does all his things and, you know, all that's behind them, and they've, hopefully by then they've learned a lot of lessons. And you can imagine that once all that's happened and they're getting ready and they're going to maybe go up to another nation, going to have to destroy it, and somebody says, you know, starts talking negatives and says, I don't know. You can imagine when everybody says, hush up. We've seen where that takes people.
Yeah,
we've seen
right.
what happened to Nathan.
Exactly.
We've seen
right.
what happened to Achan. That's yeah. why we plead with people.
Amen.
Don't do this. Don't doubt these things. Stay with God's
right.
word, because we've
right.
seen what happens to them.
Exactly.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Do you feel like you can see our pathway, why it's went the way it is?
That's right.
It's scriptural. And this is the only message that I know about out here in this world that this Bible sequences the whole thing.
That's
right there.
Amen.
May the Lord bless you as we sing this song again. I feel
alone.